You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
Great. Thanks very much. And if anyone has missed you and you need that, then just let one of us know, let one of the stewards know, somebody in a high-vis jacket, and we'll make sure that you get it. All the wine is non-alcoholic and all the wafers are gluten-free, so you haven't got to make your way to a different station if you need that. You're very welcome to receive both bread and wine. There'll be a pattern and chalice at each station. You're very welcome to just receive the bread. What we do ask for hygiene reasons, particularly 3 days into a festival, is that you do not dip your bread into the wine, please. If you don't want to receive the wine, just take the bread. Everyone's very welcome to receive communion without exception. This is an open table. But if for any reason you would prefer simply to receive a blessing, then just keep your hands together when you come forward. And of course, please feel free to simply remain in your place if you'd prefer to do that. Today's service includes two original pieces of art, a poem by James Hutchison Ferguson, who is one of our curates in Liverpool Diocese. Some of you might have caught him at the Caravan of Love on Friday. And also a new song, We Draw Near, which has been written, composed, and is going to be performed by Martin Fuller, another of our curates in the diocese. We'll be singing that during communion. And as we gather now and await in the next 2 or 3 minutes, the start of our service at 10, Martin's going to sing just the first verses of that to lead us into worship.
We draw near, close to you, Lord, we remember what you went through. Your body was broken.
In the name of God, Creator, Christ, and ever-present Spirit. Amen. As we enter into worship, put away the pressures of the world that ask us to perform, to take up masks, to put on brave fronts. Silence the voices that ask you to be perfect. This is a community of compassion and welcoming. You do not have to do anything to earn the love offered and received here. You do not have to be braver, smarter, stronger, better than you are in this moment to belong here. You only have to bring the gift of your body, no matter how able. Your seeking mind, no matter how busy. Your animal heart, no matter how broken. Bring all that you are and all that you love to this hour together. Let us worship together.
We light a light in the name of God. We trust in the alchemy of the Holy Spirit to bring God's dream to life here amongst us. Gather your people, O God, that your dream for us may come true. Amen.
As we gather to worship, we know that all is not as we would have it be in our world and even in our own hearts and lives.
Source of hope, whose word began and sustains all life, we confess that there have been times when we have not lived as those who have heard the voice of God.
Shaper of hope, in whose living and loving God's intention was realized, we confess that there have been times when we have not lived as those who know the love of God.
Inspirer of hope, whose challenge and call are insistent and strong, we confess that there have been times when we have not lived as those who have felt the touch of God.
We offer ourselves afresh to you. Inspire, enlarge, and energize us, that now and always our lives may serve as a sign of yours.
May the God who has poured out the Spirit on all flesh forgive and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you search us and know us. May we rely on you in strength and rest on you in weakness, now and in all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go out to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay anyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord.
They didn't kill him for being nice. Nice doesn't cause trouble. Nice doesn't wake sleeping systems or rattle locks on doors kept shut on purpose. Nice doesn't make the powerful nervous or politicians whisper. Nice doesn't get followed by crowds the empire can't control. They killed him because he walked into their world as though it belonged to God and not to them. Because he spoke with the authority of someone who wasn't scared to lose anything. Because he touched bodies they pretended not to see. And once he touched them, they refused to go back to being invisible. They didn't kill him because he was gentle. They killed him because his gentleness had teeth. Because his mercy rewrote the rules. Because his compassion broke their spreadsheets. Because his love would rather bleed than behave. They killed him because he said the poor were blessed and said it with conviction and not pity. Because he fed the hungry without a permit. Because he healed on the wrong days and forgave the wrong people and wouldn't stop telling the truth even when it scraped the paint off their holy walls. They killed him because he told the truth about power without flinching. Because he pulled dignity out of the dirt and handed it back to people the world had written off. They killed him because he didn't bow, didn't blush, didn't soften his tone for the comfort of the comfortable. Because every time he said, the last shall be first, someone in the front row felt their seat getting warm. They killed him because freedom is contagious, and he was giving it away without asking permission. They killed him because he loved the kind of people they preferred to blame. Because he refused to stay quiet about injustice, refused to stay still while people were crushed, refused to preach a gospel that they could fit neatly in their pockets. They didn't kill him for being nice. Nice gets Christmas cards, and nice gets bookings, and nice gets tolerated. And crucifixion is what you do to someone who threatens the whole order. To someone who tells the truth so clearly, you either have to follow him or get rid of him. To someone who walks into a broken world and says, This is my Father's house, all of it, all of you. They didn't kill him for being nice. They killed him because he was dangerous, because he was holy, because he was untamable and utterly free. And he still is.
The second reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The burning bush in the Old Testament and the crucifixion in the Gospels are two of the Bible's defining moments of God's self-revelation. And they're both decidedly odd. They defy the natural order of things. As we've seen too much this hot summer, bushfires' normal behaviour is to tear across scrubland, destroying everything in their wake. They don't stay blazing in a single bush, and they certainly don't not even consume that bush as fuel. And Jesus calmly talking about his coming death, calling one of his best friends Satan, and teaching his followers that if they want to save their life, they will lose it, is also distinctly odd. As so often, Jesus teaches not so much by explaining things as by giving us paradoxes to puzzle over. God's self-revelation so often comes through weirdness, through, as we might say, queerness. God chooses to speak to us when we've noticed something strange enough to draw us off the beaten track of our daily routine and have been curious enough to step aside and wonder what on earth has been going on. At Greenbelt, you'll probably know that often the standout moment, the one you remember long after you've got home and showered and the wristband has finally been removed, isn't something that you'd circled in your program or favorited on the app. It's often something that you'd never planned to see, something you turned aside from where you were originally headed for, intrigued by something you saw or heard. The Gospels very often encourage us to think about Jesus in a comparison, a compare and contrast between Jesus and Moses, entering into and being drawn out of water, 40 days or 40 years in the wilderness, new commandments or teaching being given from a mountain. We're used to hearing about Jesus' parable of the lost sheep, how the good shepherd leaves behind 99 sheep that aren't in trouble to go and rescue the one that has got lost. I always find that image harks back to Moses as the shepherd here in the wilderness, where he leaves all his sheep, 100% of them, to go and investigate the burning bush. And of course, Moses doesn't think, oh, that's God over there. Obviously, I'll leave all my sheep, all my worldly goods, because meeting with God is so important. He doesn't know what he's going to encounter in the burning bush. He just knows that he feels drawn to investigate it further. Moses and Peter in today's readings give us two patterns, two examples of how we can choose to react to each fresh revelation of the troubling strangeness of God. We can say, God forbid it, Lord, or I must turn aside and look at this strange thing and see what is going on. Of course, we mustn't be unfair to Peter. It's a lot easier to be calmly curious and intrigued by a puzzling natural phenomena than by everything you thought you knew about your friend, your future, and your faith being turned upside down. The crucifixion is so troubling, so countercultural, so uncomfortable, that even here, in the safe space for questions that is Greenbelt, we rarely choose to dwell on it. The arts, though, whether poetry, music, visual arts, or performance, give us something of the way into wonder that Moses experienced at the burning bush. And I'm so grateful to all my Liverpool team for contributing their creative gifts to this service. James for that poem, Gareth for his song, Fern for our music. What happens, I wonder, if we hear what Jesus says in today's gospel, or what God says to Moses, not so much as a compressed doctrine lesson, but more as performance poetry. Lines, fragments, thoughts, challenges, thrown out into those fields then and these fields now, to inspire, infuriate, and above all, intrigue us. Art designed to stop us in our tracks. Touch grass, God says to Moses. I think that's a good translation of take off your shoes. Untie the layers of protection you've put in place to separate you from the world around you and from the reality of God. Touch death, Jesus says to the disciples. Untie the layers of protection that society has taught you that you need to separate you from the fear of death, the fear of failure, the reality of God. In the Eucharist, we enter not just into what Jesus says about his death and resurrection, but also into this way in which he communicates. Coming to communion is participating in a piece of communal performance art. We create this together, not just with one another present here in this tent, in this field today, but in collaboration with all the texts and traditions and practices that have been handed on to us from past generations and that will be taken and developed in unimaginable ways by those who come after us. We agree together for this hour to turn aside and look at this weirdness, this bread and wine that we say are body and blood, this celebration that's also a solemnity, this solemnity that's also a chaotic party. We touch it, we taste it, we take it into ourselves, and we puzzle over it, not as a doctrine to be believed, but as a weirdness to be experienced together. Here I am, we say. Here we are. This is holy ground. Amen.
Let us now affirm our faith. The words we're going to say in a moment are written by two 14-year-old boys who were at a worship workshop on Iona. So let's say together. We believe in God, who made the sun and sky, the stars and sea, who calls us to live responsibly. We believe in Jesus Christ, who became human, who healed the sick, who walked to children, who made friends with sinners. He burned brightly and offended many. His journey was one of life and death and resurrection. His light continues to shine in darkness. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who inspires the scriptures and whose breath we breathe. We believe that God calls us to be a community committed to one another, offering a welcome to everyone. We believe that God calls us to be peacemakers, workers for justice, siblings, a light for our world. Amen.
Let us pray. In this time of prayer, we're going to have some brief biddings with some space in between. and some music playing softly throughout that for your own thoughts and prayers.
We pray for ourselves, for where we are with God in this moment. We pray for safety, enjoyment, challenge and revelation, for Greenbelt and all the volunteers, crew and staff.
For the people we're with, those sitting around us, those we've met here and those we've left behind, for those we enjoy spending time with and those with whom we struggle.
Suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We pray especially this weekend for our siblings at Big Church Festival, for the staff, festival goers, volunteers, family and friends, and those directly affected.
For our local communities and nation, that they may be places of peace, respect, understanding, and safety.
Places in the world where Christians are persecuted, where people are unsafe, for disaster zones and places of conflict.
So we come now to the time where we share God's peace with one another. God makes peace within us. Let us claim it. God makes peace between us. Let us share it. The peace of God be with you all. Let's offer one another a sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
If he's going, I'll announce it. We're going to remain seated as we join together in our next song as we move into our Eucharistic prayer. O God, you search me and you know me.
Thank you.
Friends, God is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the God of all.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Eternal God, in the abundance of your love, you have caused all things to be. From dust and spirit, you have woven our humanity. In all our wanderings, you never cease to call us to the fullness of life. You gave us Jesus, Son of Mary, the bread of life broken for the world. He fed us and feasted with us. He healed us and suffered with us. His dying and rising have set us free from the poverty of sin and the famine of death. Therefore, with all whom you have made, cherished and called, with all who hunger for your kingdom, and you will not rest until all your children are fed. With the broken saints and redeemed sinners of all the ages, we take up the song of your praise. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. He will come again.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen.
Looking for the coming of the kingdom, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour taught us, in whatever language or version that comes most naturally to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You've arrived since I gave the communion instructions at the beginning. I'll just repeat them now. We're going to have 5 communion stations, one in front of the altar here, one over by the tent pole at that far side, and one over at the tent pole by this far side, and 2 for those who are outside at the back in the orchard. So just make your way in a sensible way to the station nearest to you. Give a wave now if you're going to need someone to come to you. People who are doing that corner will be spotting you, hopefully. If we end up missing you, then do just draw our attention to it and we'll make sure that it comes round to you all. All the wafers are gluten-free and all the wine is non-alcoholic, so you don't need to make your way to a particular station.
The table is set. The wine is poured. The bread is broken. You invite us to come, just as we are, to eat and drink in remembrance of you. Amen.
To you, Lord, we with new life.
Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this meal that nourishes us in body and spirit, for a taste of your dreams, for the earth that gifts us these resources, and for these bodies of ours through which you take on flesh. May our gratitude produce faithfulness, and may our faithfulness produce justice. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together our final song, We Shall Go Out with Hope of Resurrection.
The world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed. You see God in everyone. Your ears, so you hear the cry of the poor. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch is a sacrament. Your lips, so you speak nothing but the truth with love. And may your feet be so blessed you run to those who need you. May your heart be opened and set on fire. And the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and ever-present Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Friends, we are not called to be reckless with our lives, but we are sent into a world that requires risk-taking. As followers of Christ, may you go in a spirit of courage to bear witness to life in God. Disrupt oppression. Tell your story. Be vulnerable. Choose love. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.